I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing, Gator, here's an eternal topic when it comes to football. I think, I don't want to say it's overrated. I don't think it's overrated. I think fans want your team to go deep at least twice a series.
Yeah, sure.
The deep ball is so much fun. However, I have a buddy of mine that I swear to God, all he did was watch highlights. Say, we never throw the ball deep. And I'm like, it's because all you do is watch highlights. And what are they showing highlights? They show a lot of deep balls. And so you think everybody else is out there throwing the ball deep all the time. And the reality is you're only watching the highlights. But, you know, J-Mo is a deep threat, right? So people want to see J-Mo in the deep ball. They always want to see the deep ball. But I don't really know if we have an issue here other than we hear from callers, and we did today, and the morning show did today, about J-Mo when it got addressed today in the news conference. And they said, yeah, there's a ceiling there. We're trying to get to it. 248-539-9797. Keith in Oxford, you're next. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, hey, I think, one, the fan base is spoiled by Megatron, but they fail to remember that he was really the only weapon we had. His team's loaded with offensive weapons. That's number one. Number two, this coaching staff, unlike other coaching staff, seems to have a better ability to plan to attack opponents' defenses that we haven't seen before either. So they're going to use whatever strength they have to beat that team. And if it's J-Mo that day, then it's J-Mo. Like last week was Jamari Gibbs. He was the strength. When we ran it that way.
You know, it's there's only so many plays to go around. You can only get so many people involved. I swear to God, we're doing this show, and we're going to have a J-Mo game in the next few weeks just because that's the way game is. Somebody's going to decide. Somebody's going to decide, you know what's not going to beat us today? Amon-Ra's not going to beat us today, and J-Mo's going to go off.
That's exactly true. That's what this team, the coaching staff, has been able to do this. If you watch this staff against most staffs we've had, they seem to have a really good ability at planning on how to attack.
Thank you for the phone call.
And it works.
Thank you, Keith. 248-539-9797.
It is kind of crazy when you think back with the Stafford days with Calvin Johnson.
Yep.
It literally was just Calvin. I mean, even the year Stafford threw for 5,000 yards, Calvin had 1,681 receiving yards, and the Lions didn't have anybody else with more than 800.
Yeah.
With 5,000 yards passing. I mean, they had other weapons, so to speak, and they spread it out, but there was nobody that, like, jumped off the page like clearly Calvin did.
Chris and Davison. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Yeah, so I completely agree with the last two callers, actually. So we've had the Laporta game. We've had the Gibbs game. It happens all the time. It's not like we've had, like, a ton of J-Mo games last year. He's going to get it, just like you just said, Doug. There's going to be – we got to stop St. Brown. So here comes the focus, and we're going to see J-Mo have a big game. I guess my big thing is a lot of this kind of, to me, points out towards, like, the parlays and the betting, like you said. People, my fantasy team this, my fantasy team that. And that kind of bugs me. I don't do any of those things. I'm 40. All my friends around me do. They think I'm nuts for not doing that, but it also keeps me, to me, it makes me feel like I'm a much, like, more positive, like, fan for my whole team not just for stats and stuff. But, yeah, I do. I think Jamo's going to have a couple of those big games, and that's just how the team's built, like the last caller said. It's not always going to be one person, and I love that about this team.
There are moments in time where I think I must be out of touch, but let me ask a question. If everybody here in the room, and that includes you, Chris and Davison, and Kang, I want your opinion. Do you think people would rather their fantasy teams win and Jamo has big numbers, even if it costs the Lions? Is there a lot of guys out there? Well, I know you're going to be a no, Chris. You don't even play. But do you think people are like that?
I do. I do think that. I've seen that. I've seen people say, hey, I just need my defense to shut this team down. Unfortunately, this team happens to be, say, the Lions or whatever else. And I'm like, how can you do that? I mean, what are you really winning here?
Gator Kang?
What's the question you want to ask?
If people would like their fantasy team to win, even if it came at the...
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Expense of the Lions.
I can't answer because I haven't played fantasy football in forever. I mean that's not the way I'm wired ever.
Kang, so. you roam amongst them.
Yeah, and there are absolutely people that root for their fantasy team over the team. It's because it's benefiting their pocketbook right now. You know what I mean? Like most people play fantasy for donations or whatever you want to call it, or fantasy or daily fantasy that's available on all your apps now. I'm not saying the majority of people are like that, Doug, but there are a portion for sure that are rooting for their fantasy team. The last game Jameson Williams played, he had 0 receptions for 0 yards. Okay, that it's stuck in people's mind. I think that's why this is coming up, recency bias. The game before that, though, against the Chiefs, again, which they lost, by the way, he had 6 catches. So I think I would love for Jameson Williams to hit a ceiling, as Scotty Montgomery said today, too, because I think we know that ceiling is very high. But we also can't ignore the fact that they're averaging 30.7 points per game. Third in the league, just behind Dallas, who's 30.8, by the way. And they have a good record. And I think it goes back to really what Gator brought up earlier. They don't have enough plays. Because if you look at their yardage totals aren't as much, nearly as much as the top two offensive teams, Colts and Cowboys. They have a ton of yardage as well with the points. The Lions have the points. They don't have the yardage. And I think it's lack of opportunities.
Yeah, they're not running many plays.
Hey, crazy. 248-539-9797. Pedro in Port Huron. What's up, Pedro?
Hey, guys. I think the right JMO is kind of lacking a little bit is this isn't Jared Goff's slander at all, right? Because Jared Goff's great at a lot of things. But would you say the weakness of his game is the deep ball, right? That's what he's – and I'm not saying we need to do it more, but I just think his weakness is JMO's strength, right? Because JMO is a deep threat. That's what he is ultimately. And that's where Jared Goff – struggles a little bit. So I just think that's why sometimes he's like an afterthought. That's why Laporta is such a good target for him. St. Brown's such a good target because they work the middle of the field and intermediate stuff. Where Jared Goff, I don't even know how many passes he's even thrown more than 15 yards down the field. But I think that's just why he doesn't get the ball as much and as many yards.
I think there are other factors at play here that we don't look at maybe as much. And that is, you know, the difference in the offensive line this year and years past. Does Goff have as much time to set up and throw the ball deep? I'm not sure if the number is actually going to bear that out, that he doesn't throw the ball downfield as much as you I probably throws it more downfield than you think he does. But Jameson Williams has developed into a receiver, not just a deep threat. He's a guy that they drag across the field, too, and they want to get that matchup. And there is nothing I think that Jared Goff would rather do than get the ball in the hands of the guy who is the biggest playmaker. But you need time to do that, and you need circumstances.
The difference is I wouldn't disagree necessarily with Pedro. The wording I would use, he thinks he struggles. I think he's so good at all the rest that stuff is his strength. maybe throwing the deep ball isn't his strength, but I don't think he struggles with it. I just think they take advantage of what he does better.
And maybe this is a question to ask him tomorrow. And because struggle is a tough word to
struggle,
use.
Struggle,
but
because we've seen him do it.
Yeah, yeah. But and I don't even look at the deep pass. I would say I think it's a challenge for him to meet the challenge of throwing to a guy that's got that kind of speed. And it bears out statistically. If you look at the number of receptions compared to targets, if I'm not mistaken, J-Mo was way down the list when it comes to that percentage.
But those passes are low percentage passes too, right?
But my point is they're not all downfield trying to get him. I don't think it's a low percentage pass trying to hit.
I'm not speaking to J-Mo specifically. I'm speaking to what the caller said. He calls it, says he struggles. He's so good at the intermediate and short stuff that, yeah, when he throws the plays that have less of a chance of being completed, they're not, but that's true of everybody. 248-539-9797. Isaac in Royal Oak, you're next. Hi, Isaac.
Isn't it funny how times have changed for Lions fans? Do you remember what we used to complain or be stressed out about when we had Patricia and Quinn?
We used to be stressed out about stuff like they're winning too much and ruining their draft position.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of it was fun back in the day listening to you guys break down drafts before it was like Halloween. But having said that, I don't think it's just money. Yes, he's getting paid, so he should be happy. But in today's day and age with the younger kids and social media and the clout, like, you know, there is something to be said for when you're scoring touchdowns, you're the man, and hearing everybody cheer for you. I think it does something for ego. I mean, I'm 41. I'm not a professional athlete, and I've got an ego, you know. So I just, you know, an apprehensive Lions fan, like, I just want everyone to be happy, right? The greatest thing about this team is the culture and the team atmosphere, and I just want to make sure everybody's, you know, happy at the dinner table and gets a chance to shine. So I would prefer, you know, pretty soon here, let's let him blow up, have his day in the sun, but the Lions winning, like, he's not on my fantasy football team. I don't care about fantasy football. I just want the Lions to win and get to a Super Bowl, and Jameson Williams is going to be a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about it earlier. There hasn't been J-Mo publicly going off on social media. I think it's pretty clear he would want the football. Any player would want the football, but this is not a distraction to the season. Let's be clear.
No, it's not like it was A.J. Brown in Philadelphia that's been getting loud. And, you know, Philadelphia's a really good team. Like, dude, yep. Winning is the most important thing.
Talk some college football next. 97.1 The Ticket.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.